But I believe that the Lord has given me a word here this evening that is for this body. It's for those who may be watching online. It's actually an extension of a message that Pastor David preached several months ago. Pastor David brings the preach, and I bring the teach. So we'll give him the 1-2, the old 1-2 punch. And so the message that the Lord gave me, He is the potter, we are the clay. And so this message came about. I was actually headed in a different direction. I was, in my own life, I've been searching my own heart, you know, just believing God to be in His perfect will, to be exactly where He wants me, to do exactly what He wants me to do. And I was reading scriptures about that our works will be tried, and that you know, our works can be classified as gold or silver or precious stone or wood, hay, and stubble. And you know, I was just crying out to the Lord, I want my works to be, when they are tried by fire, I want them to withstand that fire. I want them to last. I want to make an eternal difference. And so that's where I was headed. That's the road that I was going down. And we're going to get there. But He led me in this direction. But I'm here to tell you that each and every one of you are a vessel. And He wants to use you. He wants to work in you, and then He wants to work through you. I think that's my message every time I preach. I come at it from a different angle every time. But that's what it comes down to. And see, when we get to heaven, your works will be tried by fire. And then if our works make the cut, then we are given crowns. We are given rewards. But those rewards are not for us. When you get that reward, when you get that crown, what are you going to do with it? You're going to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Because that's what we're there in heaven for, to worship Him forever. And so we will have crowns, we will have rewards that we can say, Lord, thank you so much for what you did for me. And we can put it at His feet in worship. So that is ultimately my goal here tonight, is to inspire us so that we examine ourselves, but so that we are not empty-handed when we get to heaven. So that each of us has the crowns that are available to us. The soul winner's crown. The crown of rejoicing. The crown of righteousness. I'm reminded of that song. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace. And He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Hallelujah. But we're not there yet. We have a job of work to do while we're still here on this earth. And so I'm going to talk to you about the potter and the clay here tonight. We're going to start out in Isaiah 64:8. That's our foundation scripture tonight. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. I was lax in getting my message done early, so the scriptures won't be up on the screen, but I think there is a handout for everybody, so hopefully we have enough. So if anybody needs a handout, just raise your hand and the usher will get it to you. So you can see there, he is our Father, but we are the clay, but he is also our potter. And all are the work of your hand. There may be people watching online, they didn't even know that they were clay. They didn't even know that you were the work of the hand of the Father, the hand of the potter. But by the end of this message, you'll know the opportunity that you have. Job 10:8-9. Your hands have made me and fashioned me an intricate unity, yet you would destroy me. Remember, I pray, that you have made me like clay, and you will turn me into dust again. Yes, this flesh is dirt. This flesh is dust. But while we are here on earth, this flesh acts as a vessel that the Lord can use. This vessel, this clay, this earthly body houses our spirit. It houses our heart. And that's where we do business with God. But the Lord fashions us on the outside, but he also works on the inside. He wants to touch us in every area of our lives, inside and out. Psalm 139:13-16. You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. So you can see that before we were born, he knew us. Hallelujah. Before you were knit together in your mother's womb, he knew you. For I know the plans and purposes that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. See, God was thinking about you before the foundation of the earth. He knew that you would be here for such a time as this. He knew that you would be the one who would stand and that he could use you during these last days. So that's why you were put here at this time. That's why you were made the way you are. That's why you look the way you do. Even if you don't like the way you look. That's the way he fashioned you. That's the way he formed you. And he made you that way for a purpose. Hallelujah. It is no mistake, I'm here to tell you. God does not make mistakes. You are perfect in his eyes. And when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you do become perfect. Hallelujah. Because Jesus, along with the Holy Spirit, fills in the gaps in our lives. He makes up for all of our weaknesses. He removes the things that shouldn't be there. And He puts the things in that should be there. And so I'm here to tell you today that you are a beautiful lump of clay. And He's got plans for you. Greater plans than you have for yourself. I'm here to tell you. So, let's talk about the potter. And this is talking about the potter back in Bible days. Back in the times of Israel. I'm going to give you six different steps for making a vessel, a piece of pottery. First, you gather the clay. Then they have to clean the clay. Then there's a molding or shaping of the clay. Then there's drying the clay. And then there's firing that clay vessel in a fire or in a kiln. And then there's putting that clay or that vessel to use. And so we're going to talk about these different areas. And we're going to go to Scripture for each of these areas. So first you have the gathering of the clay. Genesis 2:7 tells us, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So I touched on this a little bit ago, but each of us is made of clay. From dust you were made, and from dust you will return. That is your earthly suit, your earthly body. But the Bible also says that each person on this earth is made in the image of God. Now the Bible says that no one has ever seen God. But we do know that Moses saw his hinder parts. We do know that Moses, after he had that encounter, was so full of God's glory that he had to wear a veil over his face because the children of Israel could not stand to look at him. But many people in this world do not realize that they are made in the image of God. Isaiah 29:16 tells us, "How foolish can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, 'He didn't make me'? Does a jar ever say, 'The potter who made me is stupid'?" So each of us is a lump of clay. But each of us as a lump of clay has to be willing for the potter to use us. The clay has to humble itself. The clay has to have the right material in it so that the potter can make that vessel fit for the master's use. So the clay has to be the right consistency. And for the clay to be the right consistency, the clay has to have the right moisture in it. Isaiah 45:9, is similar to Isaiah 29:16, but it tells us, what sorrow awaits there those who argue with their creator? Does a clay pot argue with its maker? Does the clay dispute with the one who shapes it, saying, stop, you're doing it wrong? Does the pot exclaim, how clumsy can you be? See, there's many people that argue with their maker. They don't want their maker to touch them. They don't want their maker to form them. They don't want their maker to set them free. They don't want their maker to use them. They want nothing to do with their maker. They want nothing to do with the potter. And he just wants to lay his hand on them. Those hands of love, that presence that we felt earlier tonight was him laying his hands on us. So you can live in his presence. You can experience that 24/7. It never has to go away. You can walk and talk hand in hand with the potter. Hallelujah. The opportunities are endless when it comes to Almighty God and Him wanting to touch you, Him wanting to love on you, Him wanting to form you, Him wanting to cleanse you, Him wanting to mold and make you into His image. So you have this lump of clay, and so the clay has to be willing to be separated from the bigger lump. And that's usually done by a string, by cutting that lump, a smaller lump, off to itself. So that smaller lump can then get individual attention. And so I believe that this is a type when we say yes to being separated, or say yes to Jesus Christ, then He singles us out, or He separates us unto the plans and purposes that He has for us. But the clay can still block the process. So the clay has to be willing to let Him do everything that He wants to do. So we have this lump of clay. Now, when this lump of clay was collected, it could have problems. It could have impurities in it. Maybe this lump of clay had some rocks or pebbles in it. Those have to be cleaned out. Maybe when this clay was collected, there's some sticks or some grass sticking to it. That has to be removed. Maybe there's some air pockets in it. Some people have a lot of hot air. And that has to be removed. Because if that air pocket is left in place, when that clay is formed and that air pocket is still within that vessel, and that clay is put into the furnace, it will cause that pot to explode. So that has to be taken care of. So in Bible days, that actually the potter would have helpers who actually would use their feet to knead the clay to make sure that the clay was mixed properly, but that these air pockets were removed out of it. So all this debris, all these impurities would be sin that's in our lives. And so Jesus wants to come along and remove these impurities. He wants to cleanse us from these impurities. Colossians 3:5 tells us out of the New Living Translation, so put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. I know for myself, when I was living in the world, there were many different things that I worshiped. Sports. Partying. Drinking. Those things had to be removed. And when I said yes to Jesus, He removed those things as far as the east is from the west. And so, with that, then when you say yes to Jesus and He removes those impurities, then you have a pure lump of clay that the Master can use. That the Master can do something with. But again, the clay has to be willing. The clay has to be willing to progress. The clay has to be malleable. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:13 through 14, under the old system or the old covenant, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. So you can see that we have a better covenant. We have a Savior. He went once and for all and placed His blood on the altar in heaven. And that blood cleanses us. That blood purifies us. That blood removes those impurities. And that blood is definitely better than the blood of bulls and goats. So then you have this lump of clay. And now is time for the molding and shaping of the clay. And so Pastor David, when he was preaching that message a couple of months ago, he showed us a picture of a potter's wheel. And on that potter's wheel, there was two levels to it. There was a bottom wheel and a top wheel. And in Bible days, those wheels were made out of stone. Nowadays, you know, they're... probably is not a there is not even a bottom wheel. It's hooked to electric to spin the wheel, the top wheel. But back in Bible days, there was stone on the bottom. The potter would use his feet to spin the wheel. And then the clay, the lump of clay, was placed right dead center in the middle of that stone. Because if you got it off to the side, when the potter went to work on that clay, it would cause the clay to not form properly. It would cause the pot or the vessel to lean. So the clay had to be placed right in the center. In Jeremiah 18, 1 through 6, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel." So we know that in these last days, or in this time of grace for the church, that we are spiritual Israel. And the Lord is molding and making His church in these days. And if He doesn't like what is formed, He can remake it. He can redo it. You can see here that when the potter was attempting to make this vessel, that it was marred. Marred means that it didn't look right to him. Maybe it ended up with a crack in it. Maybe it had a little tilt to it. Maybe it was not even all the way around. But for whatever reason, the potter started over. He made the lump of clay back, or he formed it back into a lump and started over and started spinning that wheel again and bringing that clay up. The other interesting thing is when the potter was working on that clay, he would have a bowl of water there. And he would always be dipping his hands into that water to keep that clay moist as he is working that clay. And to me, that water can represent two things. It can represent the water of the Word of God, that as we progress in our walk, as we follow the Word of God, that helps in molding and making us. Water, as we talked about recently, can represent the Holy Spirit. And when you say yes to Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. And so that Holy Spirit can help to mold and make you and fashion you. But I watched a video on the potter, and every move that he made when he wanted to either expand or raise the pot up, he would go and get more water and apply it to that vessel. And it just helped to keep everything lubricated, to keep everything spinning, and then allowing him to keep his hands where he needed to keep them, and so that the pot spins smoothly within his hands. And so that is what the Lord wants to do with us. He wants to spin us. He wants to fashion us. He wants to mold us. And he does that through his Word and through his Spirit. The other interesting points about the potter's wheel is that it is the pressure of the potter's hand that forms that pot. But it's also the speed of the wheel. So it's the combination of the two that causes that pot to form. And so it's interesting to me that there's times when he puts a little more pressure on us. He puts his hand heavily upon us, if we let him. And as he puts that pressure on us, when I was watching that potter at work, when he put that pressure, that pot or that vessel just came to fruition in no time. Within about 2 minutes, he had brought that pot from a lump of clay up to a beautiful pot. Some people crack under the pressure. Some people start out going after it, allowing God to do a work in them. But then when they start experiencing the presence of God, they start experiencing the hand of God on them, they back off. And I'm here to encourage us tonight to not back off. Allow his hand to rest heavily upon you so that he can form you into that perfect vessel. Philippians 2:13 tells us, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." It's very interesting to me. I'm not very artsy, but many potters, when they see a lump, they immediately see the potential in that lump of clay. They immediately know what they're going to form that lump of clay into. I see a lump and it just looks like a lump to me. But it's a gift that some people have. And obviously, the master potter has that gift. When he looks at each of you, he sees the potential in you. And he knows what you can become. Romans Romans 9, 20 through 21. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? It was very interesting. Back in Bible days, the potter would make several vessels, and he could make vessels come out and look the same on the outside. But you see here the words vessels made for honor and vessels made for dishonor. And usually the vessel that was made for dishonor had problems on the inside. So on the outside, those two vessels look the same when they're sitting side by side. But that vessel on the inside of dishonor either had a crack or a bump or a groove in it. And see, when you don't have a smooth surface, things can stick to that crack or that groove, like bacteria, like mold, things that shouldn't be there. And so the potter would know that that vessel was not perfect on the inside. And so that vessel of dishonor would be set aside for a different use. The vessel of honor would be kept for the drinking water. The vessel of dishonor would be kept for the wastewater and put in a different part of the house. When people would go to the potter's house to buy a vessel, he would ask, are you looking for a vessel of honor? And if so, then the price was higher, but you got a vessel that was perfect on the outside and the inside. The next step is drying the clay vessel. So they would form the vessel on the potter's wheel, and if it met their standards, then it was just set aside onto a shelf, actually out of the sun, but in the wind. And so I thought that was interesting. We know that there are different types of the Holy Spirit. And so it was set in the wind to dry, to fix itself, to stay in that form. Sometimes after we are formed, there can be a testing time where the Lord lets us go through a season where we hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working on us, but we haven't reached maturity. We haven't reached that place where He can fully use us. So we can't get ahead of God in these times. We have to be patient. We have to allow the wind of the Holy Spirit to do its work and to fix us and to set us in place. John 3:8 says, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. So yes, in this situation, the pot is sitting there on the shelf, but the Holy Spirit can be dealing with you during this time and giving you direction of where you're going to be moving to, of the plans and purposes that He has for you. Step number 5 is firing the vessel in the kiln, or in, you know, heating that vessel in the fire. Most of the time, most vessels are heated at least 2 times. The first time, And I'll just say this, the temperatures back then were between 1,500 and 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So this was a hot fire. So once that vessel comes off the potter's wheel, it goes on the shelf for about a week to dry, and then it goes into the fire. And so the first time it goes into the fire, that sets the vessel. That causes the molecular structure of that vessel to bind together. It causes that vessel to harden. It causes that vessel to be resilient, to be resistant. It causes that vessel to take the shape, to take the place that the potter has for it. And then the second time that the vessel goes in the fire, that's done after the vessel is painted and put a clear, you know, they might paint it, they might put a clear coat on it, they might paint a scene on it. Then that goes back into the fire to set and harden that outside so that that glaze is fixed on that vessel. I liken the firing of the vessel to the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire because it fixes you. It does expose the, if there's any impurities left, it burns those out. But it plants you solid in the kingdom of God. It makes your vessel fit for the Master's use. And so, the Bible tells us in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Hebrews 12:29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. So you can see the importance of progressing in our walk with the Lord or becoming a vessel fit for the Master's use. Yes, He can use you in the previous stages, in your previous growth, but to become a vessel of honor, He wants to pass you through the fire. He wants to put that fire on the inside of you, to put that fire into your heart. You remember I was talking about the potter putting pressure on you. And I love this part of the whole process. When that potter first has that lump of clay, he brings it up. So he brings it up to about the height that he wants it, but there's still no hole in the top to allow for that pot or that vessel to contain anything. So then that he starts out by putting his fingers down into the top of that lump to open up a cavity inside that vessel. And eventually, if the pot is big enough, he goes from his fingers to his hands. So he ends up with a hand on the inside of your pot and a hand on the outside of your pot. And wouldn't you know it, the inside of that pot is called the heart. So he puts his hand on your heart, he puts his hand on the outside, and as you're spinning, he molds and makes you and he forms you. Hallelujah. But every now and then, when that vessel comes out of the fire, it has a crack in it. Or it could be that the vessel comes out of the fire and then a couple of years later develops a crack. But there is a remedy for that. So those cracks most of the time develop up around the top of the vessel, which is called the lip or the mouth. Isn't that amazing? That our mouths get us into trouble. So in Bible days, the potter would go out into the fields and collect a tick called a fusula tick. And these ticks would feed on sheep, goats, and cows. But when this tick would feed on these livestock, how many of you have seen a tick full of blood? You fall off a dog. Well, the potter would go out and collect these ticks, and then he would keep them, you know, in a pot. And whenever he had cracks in a vessel, he could pop that tick and take that blood, and it would make a very sticky substance then. And then he would mix that with powder clay. And that would form a glue or a paste. And he could put that into the crack of the pot and then put the pot back in the fire and fix that pot. Hallelujah. Now, isn't it amazing that the blood of a bull or a goat could fix that pot along with the powdered clay? How much more can the blood of Jesus Christ fix our pot? The Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world. He takes his blood and fills in the cracks. He makes up the difference. You know, there's times in your walk with the Lord where you can miss it, but it's okay. His blood covers that. You just have to acknowledge that blood. You just have to accept that blood. And that blood comes in and fills in the cracks. And it makes that vessel whole again. That vessel can hold water again. That vessel can be used. That vessel becomes a vessel of honor again. I thought this was a neat aspect of this story as well. Back in Bible days, if a vessel became unclean, they would take that vessel, and when I say unclean, either it had a crack in it, or it was heavily used, or it had mildew, or, you know, something contaminated it, they would take that vessel and pierce it. So they found, when they were doing archaeological excavations, they found all these vessels with these little puncture holes in this, right in the middle of them. And so they would call that vessel unclean. But then that vessel could be taken and that same procedure applied with the blood of the tick mixed with the powder clay, and that vessel patched, not only where it was pierced, but also where it was cracked. That can be fixed. And then that vessel is refired, and then that vessel becomes fit or clean for the master's use. See, that vessel was holy, H-O-L-E-Y. But when the blood was applied, the blood of the Lamb, that vessel became H-O-L-Y, fit for the master's use. Hallelujah. So what is the purpose of all of this? It is a vessel that can hold water. A vessel that can be used for the family, for those around it. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." 2 Timothy 2:20 through 21, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work." You remember I was telling you about those vessels of honor and dishonor, how that on the outside they can look the same, but there's on the inside that vessel of honor is clean, it is smooth. There is no impurities in that vessel. So that vessel not only gets to sit front and center in the house, but that vessel also gets to be filled with water, and that vessel gets to be taken out into public and go to the fountain. Because back in those days, they had to go to the well or to the fountain to collect their water. So that vessel got to be used to go to the fountain to collect the drinking water for the family. But the amazing thing was, the reason why they wanted that perfect vessel wasn't necessarily for themselves. It was if they encountered a stranger when they were on the way back home, they would be able to give them a drink from their perfect vessel. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. So this vessel was clean. This vessel was pure. This vessel could be poured out of. Fresh living water could be dispensed out of this vessel to those around them. The Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 4:6 says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." See, when we become surrendered as a vessel of the living God, we can be poured out as a drink offering. And when you allow yourself to be poured out, it becomes a sweet-smelling sacrifice. When we do what He wants us to do, when we go where He wants us to go, when we say what He wants us to say, there is an aroma that comes up into the nostrils of God. And I can tell you, it is a pleasant aroma. It is an aroma that pleases Him. Isaiah 55, 1 through 2. "Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Yes, this is talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Come to the waters that satisfy. But He wants those waters to flow through us. We talked about it when we were talking about the river of life, the river of God, that He wants that river of life to flow out of our bellies. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. And so when you are pure on the inside, the water that you release is pure. It's cleansing to those around you. It brings healing to those around you. It brings deliverance to those around you. It brings washing and regeneration by the water of the Word. When you quote scriptures, it is a flow of God. He fills you up to the brim, and then it spills out over the top, or you dump that pitcher out, you dump that vessel over, and it can become like a river of living water flowing out of you. I'm seeing it right now. Hallelujah. I'm seeing rivers of living water flowing out of this church. Hallelujah. I'm seeing it just, poof. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is an avalanche of water. Hallelujah. Flowing to this community, flowing to those around us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, this is the scripture that I was meditating on when the Lord led me to the potter and the clay. But 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. See, I told you that you can go to the furnace or go to the kiln multiple times. And yes, the final time that you go to the kiln will be at the judgment seat of Christ, or the Bema. It is where we as Christians stand before the Lord and our works are judged. It's where we receive our rewards. See, the potter, God our Father, puts us on that foundation stone. He puts us right in the center, with our foundation being the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He wants to mold us and build us into vessels of honor. And then, when we are vessels of honor, then our works will be gold, silver, and precious stones. And those works stand the test of fire. Those works are firm. Those works are solid. Those works withstand, or they stand up to the test. That's what God has for us. That's His best for us. But then, if we get sidetracked, if we go off in the direction that He doesn't have for us, or we allow sin to come into our lives, we get weighed down with the cares of this world, then our works can transition to works of wood, hay, and stubble. And those works do not stand the test of fire. Those works are burned up. And so that is what I was searching myself about. And what I am doing each and every day, is it works that produce gold, silver, and precious stones? Or in what I am doing, is there some wood and hay and stubble mixed in? And that's for each of us to examine in our own lives. But as we examine that, as we move to more works that produce gold, silver, and precious stones, then we become those vessels that He has for us to be. And we reach our full potential. Now see, the amazing thing is when the fire of God touches you, it marks you. When you say yes to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it sets you apart. It sets you on a course that He has for you. It puts you in the right direction so you can fulfill the plans and purposes that He has for your life while you're here on this earth. But like I just said, then as you progress, if you allow Him to touch you, if you allow His hand to be heavy upon you, if you allow His hands to mold you on the inside and mold you on the outside, and then when you get placed in the fire, it solidifies you. It makes you be able to stand where nobody else is willing to stand. It allows you to speak things that nobody else is willing to speak. See, that fire of God marks you. And that's what happens when that potter finishes that vessel. He places his mark on it. It might be his initials. It might be another mark. But he places that mark for all to see so that they know it is the work of his hand. Hallelujah. So I'm here to ask you tonight, will you allow Him to place His mark on your life? No matter where you are in the process of being formed into a useful vessel, a vessel of honor, will you allow Him to continue to mold and make you into a vessel that is fit for the Master's use? See, I'm here to tell you today that God does have a plan for your lump of clay. Because He loves you. His ways are higher than airways. Will we humble ourselves . Will we say yes to His plans for our life . Will you allow Him to put His hand heavy upon you . Will you walk in His presence each and every day . Because when you allow His presence to come, when you allow His blood to come and fill in the gaps, to cleanse those deep, dark places in our lives. Oh, it's glorious, friends. It's holy. Vessels fit for the Master's use. So we're going to start out by giving people an opportunity to receive Jesus, because that's where it starts. See, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." The Bible also says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." The good news is, the Bible also says that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all of us are whosoevers. So I'm going to pray for those that are watching online. If there's anyone that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that they will pray this prayer right now. Say, "Dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me and cleanse me. Set me free. Jesus, thank you that you died for me. Jesus, thank you that you're coming back again for me. Fill me with your Spirit. Give me a passion for the lost and a hunger for the things of God and a holy boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm forgiven. And I'm on my way to heaven because I have Jesus in my heart." So friends, by saying that prayer and meaning it with all of your heart, it removes the leaven from your lump. And when I say leaven, that is sin from your lump. It places the blood of Jesus on you. It cleanses you from all unrighteousness. It places you on the path or on the way to becoming a vessel fit for the Master's use. I encourage you to not back away from what the Lord wants to do in your life. Allow Him to take you through the process, to mold and make you. I'm telling you, His plans for you are amazing. If you will just submit to those plans, if you will just submit to the process and allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in you, and once He does a work in you, He will do a work through you. Hallelujah. We love you. Please come and join us in person, because the Lord loves to come meet with His kids. And in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand are pleasures forevermore. We love you.